It's good to see you here today. Lord bless you. I know you had to put aside this time to be here. And remember that most of Savannah right now and this weekend will go through the weekend without any worship experience, because most of Savannah is apart from Jesus today. Most of those around us, most of those that we're Christmas shopping with. 91% of America celebrates Christmas, they say. But how many of our number celebrate Jesus and really have the Christ living in them? I hope as we go with the joy of the season, and let me tell you, it's no secret, I look forward to our live nativity. It's one Daniel and I probably love it more than anybody else. This Thursday and Friday night, I hope that you'll be here to help and experience it. We need your help. When you're not here, we miss you. Because last year, hundreds of people came through. And we can't talk to all of them, can't meet them, can't take care of everything that needs to be taken care of. It's a lot of work. A lot of work. We need people in the creche. We need people manning the food table. We need people integrating with the crowd, making sure kids don't go out in the street. It's a lot of bogeys to track at one time and have the joy of Christ in your life. Now, one thing that Dane didn't tell you earlier, that's a surprise this year. Donnie, with some of the help of his faithful servants, are going to grill hot dogs, fry French fries, and do funnel cakes out there this year for us. So, yes. So, for those of you who are wondering where your children were going to eat health food for the season, here it is. There's your answer. But we still need some milk jugs. If you have some of those laying around, we do the luminaries. Say what? And some baby food jar. Audrey says she might have found some, but we need the baby food jar. We put the candle in the baby food jar and then put that in the jug, and it tends to stay lit better than not having that. And then next Sunday, Friend Day, dinner on the ground, and please, we need food. We need you to bring food for that. We'll get some fried chicken as we always do for those events. But the food and bring people. There are people right now in all around Savannah who are just waiting on an invitation from someone like you and me to invite them to such an event. I'm going to send you a thing, it'll probably be late tonight, that you can put, it's an email invitation. You can just paste it into your email and invite your friends, people on your email list for Sunday to come next Sunday or to come for Thursday and Friday night. It'll be amazing. I have talked to more atheists at our live nativity than any other time in my life. They, for some reason, are attracted to that. But it's a wonderful time. On the 19th, Gary didn't tell you, the 19th when the children are going to do their program. And we're looking forward to that. And then our Christmas Eve service here, candles and carols, communion. Wonderful time. But you need to make plans. Let me ask you this. On the order of priority, I want you to think about it. When you let some other things bump you out of these things, what becomes more important at the end of the week? What made you in a hurry, got you to the place that we were in such a hurry that you couldn't come out to that? That means that what made you be in a hurry, you made it more important than something else. It was a lot more important in your life. Think about it. Think about it. All right. Today, it's the second Sunday of Advent. Advent means coming, the coming of Jesus. And last Sunday, we lighted our first candle, which was the prophecy candle. As we looked through the Old Testament scriptures, hundreds of scriptures referring to the coming of Jesus in great detail. Today, we light the angel candle. I think you've noticed in some of the songs that we've sung today that there is an angelic theme to the songs. And I wanted to read you some of the scriptures that that refer to angels. You know, there's seven different passages in the New Testament, in the Gospels, that are in regard to the Christmas story, the Nativity story, that are directly associated with angels. Now, what's an angel? It's messenger of God. That's what the word means. Angelos means messenger of God. And angels were all of these created beings are all over the story. And I want you to mind this now as we're talking about these today. Are there angels present here right now who are looking in on this service? Or with you better believe there are. Messengers of God. We see them in the Old Testament. We see them bringing messages. We see them coming for times of encouragement. We see them coming to Jesus and to minister to His needs after He's been out in the wilderness for the time of temptation and testing. We see all of those ways in which angels are the agents of God. And by the way, we get the descriptive ways of the way God has used them before. But that does not prescribe all of the ways that God can use. Because God can use angels to do whatever He wants them to do. Whenever He wants them to do. Now, it's not going to be in any way that would get away from His will and purpose in the earth. But they would fall into line with that. So, we're not just talking about historical figures here. Because, you know, Gabriel's still around. And so is Michael. We know some of their names, don't we? They're real. Now, here are the angels in the Advent story, the Christmas story. Angels came to Zechariah. You can look at these, you can look at these later, but you might want to jot these down. In Luke 1, Chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. Hear what the Word of God says. Excuse me, in verse 5. In the days of Herod the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. He had a wife from the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child. Ooh, tough for a Jewish family. Because Elizabeth was barren. They were both advanced in years. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service for the Lord God had appointed in his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. There were so many of them, they had to take turns during the year. It was his turn. His turn in the turret, if you will. According to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. A whole multitude of the people were there in prayer outside the hour of the incense offering. And we're talking about one of the relatives of Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. And an angel of the Lord, verse 11, appeared unto him. Staying at the right of the altar of incense, Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel. Wouldn't you be? Fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth is going to bear you a son. You'll give him the name John. You'll have great joy and gladness. Many will rejoice at his birth. He'll be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink no wine or liquor. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit while he is yet still in his mother's womb. And did we see a fulfillment of that? You bet. The baby leapt in her womb. We see it later on in the scriptures. He'll turn many away from their many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It will be he who goes a forerunner before him, that is Jesus, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready the people to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, whoopee. Is that what he said? No. How will I know this for certain? See the doubts come in? For I'm an old man, my wife is advanced in years. The angel answered and said, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. I have been sent to speak to you to bring good news. Behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you do not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. Silence came. First angel. All right? Second angel came to Mary. Go to the next chapter of, next paragraph of Luke. In Luke 1:26, the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, again it's Gabriel, to the city of Nazareth in the village of Galilee to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. Don't be frightened, Mary, said the angel, for the Lord God has decided to bless you. You'll become pregnant, have a son, and you're to name him Jesus, Yeshua. He'll be very great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over Israel forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary asked the angel, how can I have a baby? Because I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the baby born to you will be holy. He'll be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, and she's already in her sixth month. Nothing is impossible with God. Do you think America needs to hear that today? Right now? Nothing is impossible with God. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. Do you see the difference in her response? I'm the Lord's servant. I'm willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you've said come true. And the angel left. Who's the next person that the angel came to? Boy, if you're going to go to Mary, you better be telling Joseph what's going on. Because he's engaged to this gal. And here we have in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph while she was still a virgin. You think that's important, that she was a virgin? It says it over and over and over again, and yet people still try to diminish that. It's part of the miracle. While she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man, decided to break the engagement quietly so as not to disgrace her publicly. What was his privilege to be able to do that if she became pregnant before they were married? He could have taken her publicly and had her stoned. As he considered this, he was a great man. He was going to do the right thing. To do this quietly. As he considered this, he fell asleep. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary, for a child that has been conceived within her is by the Holy Spirit. And you'll have a son. You're to name him Jesus, for he's going to save his people from their sins. What does Yeshua mean? Does anybody know? Jesus? What does the name Jesus mean? It means God saves. God saves. And he does. And all this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, and it's quoting the Old Testament, the virgin will conceive. A child will give birth to a son. He will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. Again, obedience. He brought Mary home to be his wife. She remained a virgin until her son was born. And Joseph named him what? Joseph Jr. Right? What did he name him? Yeshua. Jesus. Jesus. All right. That's the third appearance of angels. Let's go to Luke 2. Another appearance of angels. We got to get the shepherds involved. The down and outs, the people under that are at that the common. Here's the blue collar angelic appearance here. Luke 2. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And that night, there were shepherds who were out in the fields. By the way, this is why we know, most probably, it's not December. Just when we do it. We're probably in the summertime. Some say August. I think it was July. But that's just my opinion. Now there's some shepherds out in the field outside the village guarding their flocks at night. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared unto them. The radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terribly frightened, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news of great joy shall be to all people. Under you is born this day in the city of David. Savior was Christ the Lord. Remember that? Can you say it that fast? You didn't think I could talk that fast, did you? How shall we recognize him? You will find the babe lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, snugly thin clothes. So here the shepherds get a visitation from angels. Fourth one. Here's the fifth one. Go farther in that chapter. Chapter 2, verse 13. And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of other angels, the armies of heaven, and they were praising God. And I know, stop right here. I know some of you, subscribe to a theology that says angels can't sing. I say you're wrong. I think you're dead wrong. Because that music comes from the soul. And I think what they heard was music to their ears. The angelic choir of heaven singing. Praising God, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. May his favor be to those on whom his favor rests. When angels had returned to heaven, the shepherd, did you get that? They returned to heaven. Can you imagine that? Remember what Gabriel said about that he had been in the presence and in his with them. You get that? I wonder what they smelled like. I wonder what the awe around them was like. That sense of the presence of God. So then shepherds looked at each other and they said, come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing which happened, which the Lord has told us about. And we'll go to the sixth appearance in Matthew chapter 2. Because you see, the baby is born and the baby becomes a young child. They stay there in Bethlehem, but something awful is about to take place. You know, the Magi have come for their visit. And then what is Herod about to do? He wants to kill that up-and-coming king. So he dispatches the soldiers for the slaying of the innocents. Here's what the scripture says. Now, the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother." And the angel said, "Stay there until you return, because Herod is going to try to kill the child." And that night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through his prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." Sixth appearance of angels. Herod died. You go further in Matthew 2, and then you have the seventh appearance of angels in the story that we know about. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, and he told him, "Get up, take the child, his mother, back to the land of Israel, because those who are trying to kill the child are dead." So Joseph returned immediately to Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid. Then in another dream, he was warned to go to Galilee. So they went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what was spoken by the prophets concerning the Messiah. "He shall be called Nazarene." How can you see? Yes, the Bible is full of contradictions, right? It says he's going to be born in Bethlehem. It said he would come out of Egypt. And it said he would be called a Nazarene. How can you make all three of those things true? I just read it to you. It's not contradictions. It's the Word of God. So did angels have a place in the announcement and in the coming of Jesus, his first coming, his birth? Of course they did. And when you think of angels, you think of the miraculous, don't you? Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. The birth of Jesus was a miracle, wasn't it? It was a prophetic miracle. Hundreds of prophecies had to be fulfilled. It was an angelic miracle, because look at how the sky just filled with angels. Is that a miracle? How many times have you entertained angels unaware? Do you even know? It was a physical miracle here in the whole birth thing. The Immaculate Conception. The Virgin Mary. It was a passion miracle. How could God still love us enough that He would send His unique one and only Son to become flesh in our place? It was a multiple miracle, because you had a miracle over here and a miracle over there, and God just juggling the miracles everywhere. Can He still do that right now? For you and for me. It was a unique miracle, for there had never been anything like this in all the earth. But you see, it fulfilled what we read in the book of Revelation when it talks about history past. The Son of God slain from the foundation of the world. The Son of God's going to be slain from the foundation of the world. Then the Son of God's got to come here and take on flesh so that He can be slain. It was a new beginning of miraculous events that would bring us on a march to the conclusion of history. And we're well on our way. Jesus' birth is the hope of miracles to come. And the angels showed us that again and again. It's a miracle of birth for all of us. But not just the birth that God would create you in His own image. But the miracle of the rebirth, that He can change a man or a woman and make you new. To, to change your eternal destiny, to change your life, to come into your life and make you a new person. That's a miracle. It's the miracle of eternal life, that you could live forever with God. And when God says, "You're my child," He means it forever, and He will never leave you or forsake you. As it says in Matthew 28, "And lo, I am with you always, even to when? The end of the world." It's a miracle of a changed life. Living a changed life out. And that's what we're talking about in our celebration of Christmas. Let's just reconvert all the trappings, all the stuff, so that it becomes the mouthpiece of God for the good news of Jesus, the great joy to all people. It's a miracle of real life every day. Real life. You think that in each of these instances, here come the angels speaking into real life situations with real life people. These are not actors. They're real life people. Who are we? Real life people who need the miraculous, don't we? It's a miracle of God's intervention as He comes and interrupts the circumstances. Do we need an interruption of the cycle of death, of corruption, of hatred, of discord in our lives, in our country? Do we need an interruption of that right now? Do we need the power of God to come and just invade our circumstances? Just like on that Judean hillside where the whole night air just lit up with the glory of God as His angels were there singing His glorious praise. It's a miracle of forgiveness, that it doesn't matter what you have done. There's power in the blood of Jesus to forgive you, to make you right, to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, to give you a new life. That's the power of God. Do you believe in miracles? I'm not talking about miracles just as an idea, just as a fanciful thing from the past that we can read stories and say, "Oh, that's nice." You see, these miracles aren't just for somebody else. So W.A. Criswell used to say on the radio, Dad had these real tape. We'd listen to him preaching from Dallas, Texas. He'd say, "It's for you, somebody you. The miracle is for you. The miracle of the presence of God. It's the miracle of His power. It's the miracle of His forgiveness. It's the miracle of His love." It's not just a miracle comfortably tucked into the future. We can all talk about the idea and fancify each day like, "Oh yes, oh yeah, God's going to do something in the future." God wants to do it now, doesn't He? Now. Right now, in our homes, in our families, in our relationships. It's not just a miracle in another place and we see the power of God. I know we hear the stories, and I've seen with my own eyes, seen people healed, seen deaf people that suddenly can hear. Children that are about to die come to life. God does that here too. It's not just in another place. Why not let Him do a miracle? One of those angelic style miracles at this time, in this place, and in your life. It's up to you. The second candle of this this Advent season is the angel candle. And I can't look at that candle without thinking it's a miracle. What God has done. Let's bow our heads. We open the altar now. It's our custom. That's our custom here. To open the altar to pray. Come. Give you an opportunity to publicly profess your faith in Christ. If you've never received Him into your life, you'd like to publicly profess Him for the first time. I invite you to Jesus today. I invite you. The gospel is the same gospel. The same good news, the same Jesus that was revealed to Paul on the Damascus Road when he met Jesus face to face. Jesus has come to meet you here today. What will you do with Jesus? Will you receive Him? He loves you. I invite you to come and pray at the altar today. Maybe it's the time to bring your life, all your stuff, all your Christmas season, and why not baptize it today? Give it unto the Lord. It's about Him. Every single detail. Maybe you have a great need today. No doubt in this group, there are probably several of us that feel like we're dying by inches. I want you to know there's hope in Jesus. He has great power. He can do the miraculous in you. I'm praying today for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us as a body, that He will stir up the gifts in us to be His instruments in the world, our world, where we live. Some not some generic, indescript, faraway place, but our world right now. Lord, come. Come right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, very Spirit of Jesus, the Son of Yahweh, the Father. We bless You right now. Come. We open this altar now. We celebrate You and celebrate Your presence. It's all about You and none about us. Come. Come, Lord. Come as we pray. Come as we get on our faces before You. We bless You. It is in Your name and in Your power. If you'd like to bring an offering unto the Lord, if you have that card, we'd like for you to bring it. There's a basket in the back, and there's several up here. It's your time. Apart from the popular evangelical model that says you gather people into a building and that's where it really happens. You know, that's not where it's happening in the world. That's not where it's happened traditionally since Jesus was on this earth. It happens out there where the power of God, you know, who is the church? We're the church. We are the body of Christ. In Walmart, Abercorn Street, Broughton Street, doesn't matter. We're the church. You know, we gather in here for a God pep talk to wind us up so He shoot us out there so we can be all we're supposed to be in the world. That's where the gospel is going to be told through you this afternoon, tomorrow, this week. Let me pray a prayer and send you out in His name, okay? Lord Jesus, We know the Father, your Father, is ascending God. He sent us you, you came, you did your work, and then he sent us the Holy Spirit. And now, Lord, you're sending us out into the world to be your people, and especially at this season. Lord, we don't even have to be creative about bringing up spiritual topics because it's everywhere all around us. Lord, immerse us anew in your love. Let us not go with our own sense of gravitas, but let us go in the power and baptized in the love of the Lord Jesus to bring a message of good news and hope to a world that is dying and going to hell without Jesus. Come, Lord. Come upon us now. Give us the joy of this season, the real joy. In your name we pray. Amen.